Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We're currently going through the book of Hebrews with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 14, where we see that peace is something that the Bible speaks a lot about. But in today's study, Pastor Dave teaches us how we need to chase after, pursue, and grow in peace through loving others. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Hebrews 12, verse 14.
Thank you for your presence. Lord, it's arresting. It's settling, God. It's soothing. It's calming. It's ministering. Lord, it's full of joy in your presence. God, is life evermore. It's sensical, God, when we're with you, when we're before you, when you have our focus, God. Everything makes sense so much more. Everything seems so much more beautiful, God, when we recognize your hand and your touch and your leading and your guidance and in your presence, God, in our lives. And I pray for your people this morning, God, wherever they are streaming this service, whether it be their family room, Lord, or their deck, their vehicle, the break room, God, at work, wherever they are, God, we pray that your presence would burst forth, Lord, in that place, that they could sense you and feel you, God, and know that they're surrounded by you. Like David said, Lord, where can we flee from your presence? If I ascend into the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the grave, you are there. If I'm alone in a hospital room, you are there. If I'm depressed in my bedroom, you are there. If I'm sick and I'm weary and I'm heavy laden, you, the great physician, are there. And your nail-pierced hand, it reaches forth and it wipes tears from our eyes. And your heart is gentle, Lord, and you're kind and you're compassionate. As we sing, mercy is in your eyes. You're tender and you're gracious and you're slow to anger and you're abounding in goodness and forbearance and gentleness and kindness to your people. You're not short-tempered with us. You're never exasperated by us. Your mercies are new this morning. Great is your faithfulness. You laid your life down for us, Lord. What won't you do that's for our benefit, for our good? You've proven your love to us by laying down your life for us in that while we were yet sinners, you still died our death and paid our price for our sins. You exchanged, Lord, our rags, our garments of filthiness for your garments of righteousness. You became sin who knew no sin, so that we could become the righteousness of the Father. You adopted us into your family. We are no longer slaves or estranged or even just acquaintances or even friends, but we are sons and daughters of the living God. We get to now cry, Abba, Father, to our dad who is in heaven. We have your ear. And God, you have ours this morning. You have our praises. They rise from our hearts. Lord, in your presence, God, everything makes so much more sense. In your presence, God, we find rest for our weary hearts. And we can't wait, Lord, for next Sunday to come. And all of the people that desire to be here gathered back. What a reunion it will be, Lord, and how precious it must be in your sight. As your word tells us, behold how good and how pleasant it is when brethren, from your vantage point, God, from your perspective, when children gather together in unity. It is like the oil, the ointment that dripped from the head of Aaron down his garment. God, we long for that day, but what it will be when you have us before you on streets of gold, all of your children from the Old Testament and the New before your throne, singing, "Worthy is the Lamb to receive all glory and honor and praise." And then there'll be a portion, God, where you must stop us and you interrupt. And with that baritone voice like thunder, you'll sing over us. When you rest, Lord, and we're before you, like Zephaniah says, you'll begin to sing over us and a banner will hang and it will be love. It will be love that's over our heads, and you'll sing over your people. You'll rejoice because we'll be home. What a day, God, it will be. How you must long for us. We long for you, but how you must long for us. And this morning, God, we respond and we say, you have our attention. You have our focus. Our eyes are on you. We give place to your word, God. I don't know what churches around the globe are doing, but I know what this church is doing. We give place to your word. We've worshiped you in spirit, and now we want to turn our attention to worship you in truth. Set us straight, God. Teach us, soften our hard, calloused hearts. Lord, the older we get, the more opinionated we become, the more staunch in our stances we get. And Lord, that needs to be broken today. That needs to be bridled today. That needs to be harnessed today. Make us men and women of your word, who love your word, who exalt your word. Speak to us, we pray. This is our daily bread. It's our sustenance. It's our corporate meal. It's our table that we come to. In the presence of our enemies, in the presence of a hostile world who has become so anti-Christ, anti-Bible, we come and we feast at your table. We're surrounded by the wolves. We're surrounded, God, by haters. Even so much of the church has become haters of those who practice righteousness and holiness. But Lord, we come and we take our seat at the King's table, the table that hides our lameness. We're here to sup with you, God. We're here to break bread with you. We're here to do what John of old did, to lay our head in your bosom and just to hear your heart for what we need this week. We go from week to week as a church, God. Give us what we need for these next 7 days. Till you bring us back into your house. Bless you, Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord. Wherever you are, bless the Lord. Give him a round of applause. Give him a shout. Give him an amen. Give him a praise. Bless the Lord. Let your children see you. Bless the Lord in your house. Your house is a place of worship. Bless the Lord. Welcome his presence. Listen, whenever Jesus is glorified, the Holy Spirit will come. You want your house to be holy. You want your house to be filled with the presence of the Lord. Begin to worship Jesus. You stand up, dads, and you cheer for your football team or your baseball team, and you get excited when there's a home run or a touchdown, and you don't care what your kids see or do when they see that. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Holy, there is none like him. He's set apart from everyone else and anything else in all of this world. There's only one God, and it is the true living God, the God of the Bible, and we exalt him this morning. We are in Hebrews chapter 12. The Holy Spirit has just slowed me way down here in this chapter. We'll handle just one verse this morning. I'm calling my message today a message from the Prince of Peace and the Holy of Holies. Hey, Pastor Dave, who told you to say what you're saying? Where did this, you know, sermon come from? Or today's vernacular of sermons, you know, I hear a lot of guys say, my talk. Well, it's not my talk and it's not my sermon. This is a message from the Prince of Peace and the Holy of Holies. This is clear instructions given to us found in God's word. And that's how we learn how to live, from God's word. We love to worship God. It's exciting. The music is wonderful. The hype is great. And when you're back in this room, you're going to feel what some of the leadership and Bible teachers got to feel this morning, and it's going to be spectacular. It's going to be like those fireworks that went off in your neighborhood last night and kept your dog barking and kept, you know, you and your kids up watching the fireworks going off. It's going to be like that when we're back together again. But listen, we've got to be anchored by truth. okay? Because zeal without knowledge is dangerous. And God's word gives us knowledge that translates into wisdom. It anchors our souls. It gives us an establishment, something to stand on. It keeps our footing in the faith so that we can know how to live in Christ. And so we're slowing down here in Hebrews chapter 12. I would have loved to have taken you from verse 12 down to verse 17. I see that as the context of the text. That's really how you should read through it on your own devotionally. If you want to go back and reread it, take that whole chunk. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12 through 17. If it were a Wednesday evening, I'd do it with you. But the Holy Spirit wants me just to handle verse 14 this morning, and I'll read it out loud for you in its entirety, and I think you'll right away get the sense as to why. It gets difficult right away. First two words, follow peace. You're thinking, oh, that's easy. I can have peace if nobody's around or bothering me. I know, but then it gets harder. Watch this. Follow peace with all men. And maybe you're thinking, if he just said follow peace with most men, follow peace with people who think the way that I do, or follow peace with Christians. I think that might be harder, actually, than unbelievers. Christians are tough. Follow peace. This is a present imperative. It's not a suggestion. It's not, hey, if you want to do this, do this. It's not something that's leisurely in the Christian walk or faith that you get to opt out of or do if you want to do it. It's a present imperative. The tenses are, you must continually be doing this. You must continually be doing this without exception. You must follow peace. And then men is added by the translators. It's you must follow peace with all. And then he goes like this, and holiness. Isn't it interesting that he couples those two? Follow peace, present imperative. You must continually, right now, be pursuing after peace. The word follow there is the word that's used 25 times for persecute in the New Testament. When you're persecuting somebody, what are you doing? You're chasing them. You're not nonchalant about the pursuit. You're not casual about it. You're not like, oh, you know, there's the person I'm trying to kill. I guess I'll sort of just see where they kind of end up going and maybe I'll catch up to them. If I'm persecuting somebody, at least the way the word is used in the New Testament, I'm on a hunt for them. I'm chasing them down, right? Saul of Tarsus, before he was Paul the Apostle, was doing this very thing to the early church on a chariot, riding, you know, dragging men and women out of their homes. I mean, he was hot and heavy on the heels of Christians. That's the word. You must be hot and heavy in your pursuit. E.T. Robertson, a Greek translator, he renders it this way. You got to be on a hunt. For what, Pastor? Peace. Peace with who? Everybody. And holiness. Can we use that word today in the church? Is it okay to use that word? Jesus says, the Prince of Peace from the Holy of Holies, the throne of God, he says, this is beloved. He's speaking to believers because unbelievers can't do either of these things. He's speaking to believers today. It's a word in season. He's saying to all of us in the midst of all of this chaos and all of this separation and division and all of these schisms that are going on, the God of the Bible says this word to you and I. It's not a happen chance or coincidence that we, Calvary Westside, are in this chunk of scriptures right now. He says this, here's your word for the week. Here it is. You got to go after peace with everything that you have, with all men. And holiness. Because without such, you can't see the Lord. So don't quote your Christianese. Don't spit scriptures that are all difficult to handle as it is when you're not even willing to do these two things because Jesus says, not me. The Holy Spirit says, not me. I'm not the author of this. I'm the messenger. I'm the heralder. The Lord Almighty says this, you can't and no one can see God. Now that should trip us up right away. That should bother everyone. This isn't a boring Bible study. No way. This isn't a boring Bible study. There's no way anyone could be bored right now. There's no way that anybody could be checked out right now. You just heard what the Lord said to us, right? Let's just camp here and tear it up. He says this, if you're not doing these things, believer, you're in the middle of a race. You're running. Don't lose the context of the text. You're running the race. You're looking unto who? Shout me down from your family. Who are you looking unto? Jesus. Hebrews 12:2. Wasn't too long ago we were there. You're running the race. You're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. He asks you to cast off every weight and every sin that so easily what? Besets you and entangles you. And he says in verse 2, and you're looking unto Jesus, not the crowd stand. Crowd stand's only there in the beginning and at the end. The hype's only there in the very beginning when you're feeling good, but man, you're on mile 3 now. It's gone. Can't see him anymore. Nobody's there anymore. You're past that point. So the only thing you can do now is keep your eyes fixed on the prize. It's a mental picture. I'm looking unto Jesus, the author, the beginning, the initiator, and the perfecter, the finisher of my faith, who for the joy that was set before me endured the cross, he despised the shame. He ran the race to win. He already completed the course for you, and he's laid it for us out. We're in the middle of running this. He says this last week to us, be careful, because in this race running, hands get heavy. That's one of the first things that happen when you're weary in a race. And you want to drop your hands, you want to get sloppy and lose your form. You want to start running like this. Can't do it. You got to use your hands to pull through the air, keep your momentum, to keep your movement, to keep your pace. You got to do that. But listen, in your sloppiness, sometimes you start to get restless and disgruntled in your relationships. You seeing this? This is a whole chapter here. We divide it up because of time frames. That's why. That's the only reason why. In the midst of all of this race running, in the midst of being in the thick of it, you got to be careful because your hands are going to start to droop. He told you that last week. Lift up your weary hands that hang down. You got to lift them up. And in the process of that, be cognizant of how your relationships are with man. Because one of the things that happen when you're hot and you're irritated, just in your own circumstances and in the own lane that God has you running in, is you start to get contentious, perhaps. Well, you tell me what's an antonym to peace. You start to get argumentative. You start to get difficult. I think contentious is perfect. You start to get catty. You start to get nasty with other people. And the Lord says this. We'll just handle peace right now. Lord says this. If you're not pursuing peace, if you're not on a hunt for peace with everybody, well then, not only can you not see the Lord, but this should bother even more. Others can't see the Lord because of you. I'll come to you seeing the Lord, and I'll come to me seeing the Lord when I go to holiness. Let's just stay about others seeing the Lord right now. If you're a believer, you should be super concerned about others seeing the Lord through your life. You should be constantly asking yourself, and most that you do, is this going to make peace? Is this post gonna make peace? Is this proclamation gonna make peace? Is this stance gonna make peace with all men as best as I can? Paul said that in other places, man. To live peaceably among all men as much as is in your control, if you would. Everything that we can do to have peace, we should do. And that won't always be easy because there will be this temptation. Listen, the language is this here. It's like this, because I don't want you to think I'm driving home a dead point. I'm not. It's like this. I want you to hear this and understand this. The writer here is basically saying this. I'm saying this to you because you're not doing it. I'm saying this to you because it's not natural for a man to make every effort within himself to do this. It's actually not natural at all. So some translators break it down like this. Let me read it to you from different translations. J.B. Phillips, I love his translation for understanding of Scripture. He goes like this. Let it be your ambition to live at peace with all men. You ever wake up and like, man, I'm ambitious today. What are you ambitious for? To make good money? No, I'm ambitious to have peace with everybody. You think that way? I'll just be honest with you. I don't always think this way. Okay? Listen to this. The NIV, the nearly inspired version. I still use it though. It's a good translation here. It goes like this because it's convicting. Watch. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone. To live in peace with everyone. Your next door neighbor who's so difficult, your unbelieving girlfriend that you were dating before you got saved, and now you've gotten saved, and you're trying to figure out how to lead her or your boyfriend lead him to Christ, and how to try to get yourself out of the circumstance that you're in if God's not going to save them, and you're trying to, I mean, everyone, like all the situations that are weird and uncomfortable and strange, I mean, this is the idea here. Listen to what the ESV says. Strive for peace with everyone. Strive for peace with everyone. And I like how one translation renders it, work at getting along with each other. This is to adults. This is to adults. We got to work. We got to strive. We got to be ambitious. We got to make every effort. We got to do it continuously, not just, well, I did it yesterday on the 4th of July, and, you know, I was at a party with people maybe that I don't necessarily jive with or really get along. So I did it yesterday. So today, man, I'm just not going to do it. No, we got to do it every single time. There's an opportunity to be around other people. So when we gather back together next Sunday, what do we got to do? We got to love our neighbors. Isn't that amazing? This is, you see the two commandments right here, don't you? Love your neighbors and love God. Live peaceably with all men and be holy before God. For without such, no man can see the Lord. You see, I see commandment one, I see commandment two. Hey, teacher, what are the greatest commandments in the law? Jesus said, you should love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Be holy. And you shall love your neighbor. How do I got to love him? As yourself. Live in peace. March 20th, 4 months ago almost, I made a video announcement saying church is canceled, opening it to the public. We're about to enter into something that's unprecedented, and we're all rookies at this. We got no clue what we're up against, and hopefully it's only for a few weeks, and we'll be back together by Easter. Now the 4th of July just happened, and next week will have been 17 weeks since the last time God's house was filled with his people here. And what did I say to you in that video? I said that the whole ambition behind what we're doing is that we might love our neighbors. The last Sunday before the doors open again and God's people come back into his house, I'm saying to you all over again, God wants me to say, love your neighbors. Live at peace. When we're around each other next Sunday, we'll use this for just a moment. And this guy over here thinks the whole thing was just blown out of proportion and a conspiracy and it's a political thing and this and that. And this guy over here has got a mask on and doesn't want you anywhere near him. What are we going to do? Well, I'll tell you what our natural tendency to do is just like one junior high. Find people who think like you do and ostracize the person who doesn't and mock them and laugh at them and make sport of them. And the Bible is exhorting you and I today. It's not a point that I would seek in my natural to belabor, but the Holy Spirit wants me to talk to you about it. That we're going to live in peace. So if this person thinks it's the scariest thing in the world and a second wind might come and they're paranoid and this person thinks it's a joke and I'm not going to wear a mask and they're going to wear it down, we got to figure this thing out. Because no man's going to see the Lord if we're constantly contentious with each other.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.